Give me a complete example, Lloyd, from the moment that phone call from the distressed homeowner comes into you.
Okay. We had a case in which a woman believed, and this is actually kind of this is a poltergeist case, so kind of start off by saying that. She believed that she was being attacked by some kind of demonic entity. This had started up actually shortly after her husband died, and contrary to popular belief, poltergeist cases don't always involve teenage girls. This woman was in her 60s, in fact.
Okay.
She felt that this entity was trying to hurt her. It was breaking things around her constantly. We kept on trying to ask her how she thought it was trying to hurt her, and she just felt that breaking things was enough. She actually had been hit a couple times by shards of glass when glasses had come off the shelf or things had popped out of the refrigerator. Now, we were a little concerned because she was in her 60s, and we got to see her. There was a question as to whether or not her perceptions were accurate, but there was enough evidence that unless she had, without realizing it, thrown these things around herself, then something else was going on, something on the paranormal level. We talked to a witness, and in fact, there was one of her neighbors who saw things fly off the shelf. So we actually had somebody corroborating this, that she was nowhere near these objects when they flew across the room. Things did tend to break around her, but nothing ever struck her. She thought that it was evil because everything when it was breaking in the shape of a point, she said, like the devil's tail.
Mm-hmm.
She was very Catholic, brought up that way, and so it had to be the devil that was doing this to her. And this happened shortly after her husband's death. Well, as we did the investigation, now, like I said, from the very start, we interview people on the phone, so we get a lot of information, including the name of the witness who is willing to talk to us. We talked to the witness before we got there and once we were there, and I actually had a psychotherapist with me also, which we often do on some of these cases. And as we worked through this, it was pretty clear that the times that she was most thinking about and most emotional about her husband, those were the times where things would break around her. And very often, while there were things like cups and such that would break, there were items that were left from her husband that broke. She was both angry and grieving for him, and her unconscious mind was actually letting off this energy to do this. And she also believed that she was responsible. He died of cancer, and she took care of him for a couple of years before he died, and she kept on saying to us, there was nothing I could do to keep him from dying.
Oh, she kept blaming herself?
She was blaming herself for this whole thing, and it was a natural cause for this. Her interpretation was very, very religious. She didn't understand about things. And the interesting thing was, how we got referred to this case was by her priest, who recognized what was going on at the poltergeist case.
But she was the one who was manifesting all this.
She was manifesting it, that's correct.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, there was no sign of her husband at all. None of that was actually happening at that point.
Now, how often does that happen then, when somebody conjures up this themselves?
Well, in poltergeist cases, it's generally the rule as opposed to the exception. And in some poltergeist cases, we even have reports of people seeing things because the person's unconscious mind literally conjures up an image that's transmitted to other people. That's where the monsters sometimes come from, it seems.
All right. Have you ever seen a case, a poltergeist case, then, where someone has got such tremendous powers, for lack of a better phrase, mm-hmm. that the poltergeist is just unbelievably strong?
No. I mean, it's not like the movies. Hollywood has certainly extended this dramatically. And we have had cases where people have gotten hurt, but it's typically because the energy is being directed inwardly. One case I had, the woman claimed that she was being literally strangled by this shadow figure, and we saw an attack. We saw her throat bulge out, myself and a colleague. It was like a bullfrog's throat. We saw finger marks or indentations on her throat, and we heard her choking, basically. The phenomena stopped when I yelled stop, which she was trying to say, help me, help me, help me. And I yelled stop because, hey, that's what you do in the movies, right? It is what you do in the movies.
And you hold up a cross.
Well, I didn't have a cross. I didn't have to worry about that. But in fact, it did stop. And it was, as we dug into it, this was another case where this woman was blaming herself for something that she had done. She was actually in therapy for, although she hadn't told the therapist about the attacks from the shadowy entity. It's really interesting because people forget that under hypnosis, some people are suggestible enough that if you take a pencil, tell them it's red hot, and touch their skin, they will show a blister. Not common, but it does happen. We have an amazing effect on our own bodies, and that is psychokinesis. Mind over matter is not just letting it outward, it's also affecting ourselves. And this woman
Well, I believe you can do that to your body. That's true.
Yeah. So it's not common, but it definitely is something that, considering all the other kinds of, I guess you could say, symptoms we'd look for in a ghost case or in a haunting case, the imprint type cases, when we're dealing with this situation, the weirdest thing, and somebody actually asked me, how do I know that with these poltergeist cases are not just simply mischievous ghosts? And, you know, there's always that possibility that there's a conspiracy of ghosts out there that are trying to make parapsychologists think it's psychokinesis from the living. But I don't really buy that.